Welcome to Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. I'm your host, Julie Otaku. This is a podcast about blackness and its many intersections ranging from politics to fashion, music to activism, academia to art, sex work to healthcare, and so on and so forth. Guest appearances from professionals in their respective fields will provide insight and unique perspectives to the issues discussed. Sit back, listen, laugh, think, and consider new perspectives as you join me across the mic. Joining me today is Maya Jones, founder and executive in chief of Shades of Long Island, a media outlet dedicated to reporting news and highlighting the stories, events, and lives of people of color from Elmont to Montauk, and alumnus of Temple University's journalism program. Welcome and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all, Maya. So, what prompted you to start Shades of Long Island?
So I'm a native Long Islander, born and raised, and growing up on Long Island, I didn't really see too much media coverage on people who looked like me. And if I did see media coverage, it was something negative. So as I after I graduated college, I came back home and I started thinking, you know, why not just if I don't see that kind of media outlet being created for people of color and the youth as well, I'm both. So I figured, why not just start one on my own? I'm a journalism major and I think I could do it. So I was just like, let's do it.
That's awesome. So you just basically employed all your different intersections and put your best foot forward. You're like, I'm going to start this because it doesn't already exist.
Right. And then it's like also at the same time, I feel like as journalists, especially in the time that we're in now, I feel like we should have something for ourselves because, you know, God forbid we get laid off from a job or, you know, something falls through. At least you have something that you own to fall back on. And with Shades, that's something that I want to not only fall back on, but I want to be able to grow it to be a big media outlet, a big media company. So that's the goal. With that.
Exactly. That's awesome. And with Shades, I definitely see it being something that you're not falling back on, but that you can stand on. Like, it's definitely going to be something where it sustains itself and you're able to live off that purely.
Right. Exactly. That's the goal. Definitely to not fall back on, but to stand on. That's for sure.
100%. When did you officially launch the site? Like, when did it change from an idea to then you executing?
So I was talking about it with my parents and they thought my parents, my mom and my dad are my biggest supporters. They always encourage me to go through with whatever I have on my mind and they always just support me. So without them, I couldn't even do this. So shout out to them. But
indeed.
Yeah, so I was talking with them about it and, you know, they encouraged me as they usually do. And I officially launched the old site. It looks different now, but I officially launched Shades in January of 2019.
Got it. So what's the official birthday? Like, what day was it?
I don't remember what specific day it was. It's sometime in January. So it's January 2019. I know that much. I started off the year with a brand new media outlet. And then we also have the directory, which we which is the largest business directory for people of color on Long Island. And we started that in March.
That's so incredible. And to speak on the business directory, that was started in March. And was it in response to the social and racial climate we had at the time where we were starting to take these big brands to task and ask them to see us and actually, you know,
so it was actually
support us properly?
It was actually before then. So I was already, doing Shades in the directory. I was doing it before all that kind of like.
You were ahead of the curve. That's awesome.
So, I mean, but the thing is, you know, it's like with the media outlet, with the directory and things like that and covering, you know, black news and black issues, that's always been something I've been interested in. And I am a black woman. So, you know, I've been covering these types of things, you know, highlighting these different types of stories for a long time now. And, you know, it's not just, you know, shades isn't just a fad. It's not a trend. It's something that, you know, I'm passionate about. And, you know, I want to be able to continue highlighting people of color and the youth on the island, you know, for many years to come. So, yeah.
Got it. Was it a difficult process getting started? And also just the general reception from the community? Was it difficult to start out, and then were you embraced with open arms?
So I think that in the beginning, it was a little hard in the sense that it was a little overwhelming, and that I've never created my own business before. I didn't, you know, I knew I just had to start with the website and start with the social media and promoting it and writing stories. I knew where to start, but at the same time, there are certain aspects of business that I didn't really know as much about. So in that sense, it's a little hard, you know, in terms of marketing sometimes, and just, you know, time management. I mean, that's always a thing. That's always the hardest thing for people to, you know, try to get a hold of. But
yeah, as a journalist, we know that very intimately.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It ain't easy. So I'm still, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still building and all that. So I think that it's gotten easier over time, but there's always new challenges, new hurdles, and things of that nature. And then in terms of the community, I'd say that it was pretty embraced. And every time I would talk to somebody about it, they'd be like, oh, wow, I'd never heard of this. I never heard of anything like this. So that way I knew I was on the right track. I would be happy, because that would always be the response. So I knew I was doing something different.
Man, that's awesome. And who helped you in the early days of the page? And more importantly, who has stuck around to be a consistent and constant contributor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the early days, obviously my parents, because they supported me, they've always supported me. So early on, they helped me. My dad actually helped me come up with the name. Yeah, so he helped me with that.
Props to him. Yeah, great name.
Right. I was like, oh, okay. I heard it. I was like, that has a nice ring to it. That sounds right. And been using it ever since. So
that's perfect.
And then godson Michelle of Blue Surge Marketing. He's a marketer. He builds websites. He's very skilled in what he does. So he kind of saw what I was doing. He saw that it was a unique opportunity, and he offered to help me out. So he helped me. He built the new site, the directory, and he's very, like I said, knowledgeable and skilled at what he does. So he's been a constant support, and I'm really happy that, you know, I met him, because he knows what he's doing. He's a businessman himself. He's been able to build up a business build a $1 million business. So he knows what he's doing. So I have him to help me out.
Yeah, you've definitely got some heavy hitters in your corner. And that is one of the most essential parts of any kind of endeavor like this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, I have my people in my corner. I have Godson. I have Sam Law of Young Hit Professionals. She's local in the area in the town of Babylon. She's doing her thing. She's making moves in the community. She's been a big support for me as well. And just, you know, a lot of people in the community who are doing things, they always love to hear what I'm doing. So I just, you know, I appreciate it.
So awesome. And throughout all of this, you said it was stressful at first, but you've now got a team around you. How were you able to decompress and, you know, kind of shift some of the responsibilities around, so it's not a one woman band, so to speak?
So I think that, how I decompress is definitely and get away from, you know, the stresses through family, through friends. I love hanging out with my family and my friends and just kind of, you know, talking, laughing, joking and all that. That definitely helps me decompress and remain sane, especially in these COVID times.
It's stressful out here.
It's mad stressful. I can't. But that definitely helps me decompress. And then in terms of doling out, giving out responsibilities. I've been able to meet some fantastic people, students at Stony Brook, where you attend, and I've been able to get support from them. And they've been, you know, very eager to participate in Shades, writing articles, doing marketing. You as well have been also a great support system as well. You've always, you know, helped out. So I appreciate you as well.
No problem. It's an honor.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But yeah, I've been able to get some interns who are dedicated. They're, you know, they're good. I love working with them. So that's been really helpful in terms of being able to dish out responsibilities and make it less of a one woman show. And then, of course, Godson helps me out as well.
That's great. You've got such a solid team around you, and you see that there is, in essence, a demand for the work and the material you're putting out. Do you feel an obligation to continue this page and to carry it forward? Because, as you said, the youth are very much participating in it, one of them being myself. Do you feel an obligation to continue this?
I do, because I feel like you said, there's a demand for this. There's a want for something like this. And even so, like, you know, I get people who ask about Shades and, you know, I love what you're doing, this, that, and the third. And it comes from all different types of people. So I feel like it's a really good feeling. And I feel obligated to keep the page going for not only them, but myself as well. I have to, you know, push this through. I got to make it big. And I feel the obligation for myself as well as other people to keep it going. So I'm going to keep it going.
That's beautiful. I couldn't have summed it up any better. In using the word obligation, sometimes that comes with like a negative connotation to it. Like it's something you have to do. And an obligation can be something you're glad to do, like a labor of love, or it could be like a chore. Like I'm obligated to clean up after my dog when she uses the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that a labor of love, but like having her around, that's a labor of love. I'm choosing to have her around. Right. Does the Shades ever feel like a chore, or most of the time it's like smooth, easy sailing?
I wouldn't say it's, I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like sometimes it feels like a chore, but most of the time it feels like something that I'm happy to do and I'm passionate about doing, because this is something that I set out to do. I set out to be an entrepreneur, and yeah, there's certain things that can be annoying at times, but at the same time, this is my business. I chose to run it, and I want to do it, and I want to see it through. I want it to grow. So it's less of a chore and more of something that I want to nurture and grow and have something for the people, you know, like I said, for people of color and the youth, because we don't really have a media outlet like this on Long Island. So I feel like I said, it's less of a chore, more of something that I'm passionate about doing.
Got it. And what's the most fulfilling part of the work? Is it the comment you get under a post you put out? Is it somebody sending you like a gift basket or a letter like, oh, thank you so much for coming to my business or adding me to the directory? I've gotten so many more clients. Which part of it makes all of this easy and you go to sleep with a smile on your face?
So, good question. I would say that definitely when people say that they've gotten business because of Shades, I definitely love that because I know that I'm doing something right. And then I do love the sharing, the comments, you know, all that definitely makes me feel really good about the work that I'm doing. And also, I spoke to a class at Stony Brook, and afterwards, the professor had assigned the students to do like a write-up of me and the visit and the presentation I gave. And she sent me the write-ups that the students did, and they were so positive and so like uplifting. That made me want to go on. Yeah. So that made me like, I know that I could look at like those responses and be like, oh man, hey, this is dope. Like that was also pretty energizing as well. So definitely the comments, the shares and all that. And then also knowing that I can give the students who are interning with me, you know, some real life skills. And I feel really good being able to give them something like that I had an opportunity to get, not completely, but I had a similar opportunity when I was in college. So I like being able to give that back.
Oh, that just makes me so happy. Because as a college student, especially in journalism, it can feel very much like a dog-eat-dog world. Like you're always in competition with the next classmate, whether or not it's explicit. You're going for these internships at these massive legacy media companies. It can feel so daunting because journalism in and of itself is a labor of love. Not everybody that goes into it is like, oh, I'm going to make six figures, because chances are you're not. Like, that's just the truth. Right. And with these big legacy companies, there's an increased pressure as a student journalist to go for these internships, which are great and all, because like it adds to your clips and your bylines. It helps if you're able to get your name in a Washington Post or New York Times. But I feel that's at the expense of the local media companies and outlets like Shades of Long Island and like, say, a Patch that has different sectors on Huntington and all these other places. But the work you do and how accessible you make yourself is so greatly appreciated. And that's coming from me as a student. And I believe that I speak on behalf of some of the professors as well in saying that is greatly, greatly appreciated.
Oh, thank you.
No problem, because the hurdle to get access to some of these media companies and to like schedule a time and all these other things for the different journalists, it can make even the act of going out of your way to do it a chore. So by the time you get there, you're like, well, that was so much. And now these students aren't even showing up. I just spent X amount of weeks doing this. Right. And then it doesn't always come out as you want, but you're doing a lot for the community. You're doing a whole lot for the community and local students. And Thank you. No problem. And this very grassroots, very homegrown outlet and publication that is Shades has the potential and is already well on its way to growing into such a legacy company or outlet for many, many other people, because Shades of Long Island shouldn't just be localized to Long Island in terms of its outreach or influence.
Thank you.
I think it should become a household name, and so should yours in due time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words. I really do. It definitely makes it worth doing for sure.
No problem. No problem. And in the context of 2020, it has been very difficult for a lot of us, but I think especially for Black women, with all that has happened, whether you want to go back to Sandra Bland or you want to bring it all the way forward to Breonna Taylor, Dominique Remy Fells, how does it feel as a journalist who has her own enterprise working through all of this while dealing with the reality that your impact can just as easily be snuffed out as it can be started? Like, how do you deal with that mentally? Because it has to be difficult. I'm a Black man, so it's difficult for me with everything. How are you coping with it?
I mean, honestly, it can be a little draining if you surround yourself with it constantly. So I try not to. I have to stay abreast of what's going on. You know, I'm a journalist. Know what's happening.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, I can't drown myself in news, especially negative news. You know, I mean, I do keep up. I know what's going on, but it's just sometimes it can be overwhelming and upsetting. And it's like sometimes you just go numb because you don't feel like being upset. But that's when you got to, you know, take a step back and do things that make you happy. Like for me, like I said, the way I cope is through talking with my friends and family and just hanging out with them and getting, you know, it all out and, you know, joking and laughing. And that helps me to kind of get away from, you know, all that and just kind of be happy. So I think that it's important for us to set aside some self-care time to do things that we like, whether it's having a conversation with a friend, getting, you know, a massage or getting your hair done, whatever, something that makes you happy, you know, I think you should make the time for that, because if you're surrounded by all the negativity all the time, it's just going to be upsetting. It's just going to be upsetting.
Most definitely. I definitely found myself having to unplug because I couldn't just keep consuming that. I had to filter out what was coming through on my timeline, whether it was Instagram or Twitter, because it's unnatural to just constantly be witnessing Black death in any capacity.
Yes.
And then as a journalist, you have to know what's happening so you can report it, because one of the news drivers is timeliness, significance, and all that other stuff in it. And stories definitely fit the criteria for all the news drivers. But you, as a, sad to say, like a potential victim of the crime you're reporting, it is a lot to deal with on a mental, spiritual, and even physical level.
Right, it's a lot. I mean, it's just, you know, you watch it and it's like, oh man, that could have been me. And it's like, I try not to even go there sometimes, because it's just like you end up going down a hole, and it's like, I can't deal with that right now. Let me just separate and, you know, just kind of take some time for myself and just decompress and all that. Like, it's a lot.
Exactly. Your lived reality doesn't need to be hyperbolized and replayed to you on the screen for you to know what it's like being you.
Exactly. That's a good point. Definitely.
You come from a very, very, very driven family, and your mother, Miss Verdell Jones, she has a program where you and your family sit around the kitchen table or the dinner table and have casual conversations called Let's Kick It with the Joneses. And it's pretty awesome.
You got the full name right. I'm happy about that.
Of course I got the full name right. I saw the intro, I subscribed, notifications are on and all that.
Thank you. Because people be saying different things, so thank you.
It's what, have you gotten like, oh, let's keep up with the Joneses? Because that's sure what it's not. That is sure not what it is.
We've gotten, you know, people jokingly said that we get, you know, kick it with the Joneses, you know. Just different variations that aren't
everything
not right,
except but for what it's what it really is.
Yeah.
Oh,
right,
man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would you be able to tell me about some of the conversations you've had on the channel, as well as how it has felt for you and your family? Because what I witnessed was basically a therapy session captured on camera when I watched the episodes.
Wow. I've never heard it phrased that way. That's interesting. Cool. I would say it's just a place where you can kind of, you know, be invited to the table with us to have these discussions and decompress. And, you know, even though sometimes we talk about, you know, lighter subject matter, sometimes we talk about heavy subject matter. Like we did an episode on loss. We did an episode on Black Lives Matter. But, you know, within these, you know, deep subjects, we're always able to, you know, bring some lightheartedness into this and kind of, you know, joke around as we do, you know. So we're able to bring that lightness to the discussion to where, you know, it's not, you know, too upsetting. Like, we want people to watch and enjoy, you know, enjoying the conversation. And doing the show has been so much fun. It's literally like that. The show is literally what we do all the time. It's basically just us talking about whatever, whether it's, you know, Black Lives Matter, music, relationships. Like, that's what we do on a day-to-day basis. So
I love that. It definitely comes through that this isn't something forced. It doesn't feel inauthentic. It's not something scripted or staged. It literally just looks like you guys are talking and there happens to be a camera there.
awesome.
Yeah, it's super organic and very nice to watch, because I personally made a concerted effort at the height of all the racial tension. I was like, I cannot watch content that isn't Black people being happy. I got tired of seeing anything else.
Yeah.
And watching, whether it was your mom's program, Conversations with Verdell Jones, or reading a Shades article, or watching an episode of Let's Kick It with the Joneses, I was just like, this feels nice.
It just felt
nice to sit and to watch people who look like me talk about topics pertaining to my reality and theirs, and to just be.
Oh man, and thank you. I'm so happy that you've gotten that from the show and from Shades and from my mom's show. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like a really healthy form of escapism, because regardless of when I start the episode, the episode is going to end and I got to go back into the world and be Black. But for the moment that I'm consuming this content and participating in it, I feel okay.
Awesome. I'm glad we were able to do that for you. That's really appreciated.
Absolutely. And I highly, highly, highly recommend everybody who is listening to become part of the Shades of Long Island newsletter, subscribe to the Let's Kick It with the Joneses yes. page, familiarize yes. yourself mm-hmm. with the businesses on the business directory. I believe yours yes. is the largest one on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
It's yep. like, guys, there are resources and people providing them for you locally. You do not need to look way out of your way. You don't need to look for some outside influence or keep saying, oh, somebody should do this, somebody should do this, and then not seek out who is doing it or not promote who is doing it. That is one of our downfalls or one of our pitfalls as a community. We will ask for things to be done or ask for some of these legacy companies and corporations to see us and to reappropriate right. the content and like reflect us. But then when it's being done by us, we're nowhere to be found. It makes no yeah. sense. It makes no it sense. Doesn't. You're asking this 100-year-old company to finally recognize Black people as full humans, but you have Black people that live in your same neighborhood who are doing that day in, day out, but you're not supporting or promoting them. You want to do business with such and such. You want recognition from yes. such and such. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to come out and say, we need to stop fighting so hard and trying to find acceptance in white dominated spaces. Sure, we need to be able to reappropriate them, get in there, assert our presence and our power and be recognized as full people and our and have agency over the content we create within those spaces. But at the same time, we need to be able to, in a good way, divest and support our own businesses. We need to be able to do that. Because it makes no sense for you to go to somebody else's house and ask to sit at the head of the table every chance you get when you already have a home or somebody who's building a home that's exclusively for you or meant for you in the first place.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with you anymore. I have felt the support from the community with Shades, but then at the same time, there is that aspect as well in terms of, you know, people saying, you know, oh, we need this kind of outlet. You know, why can't we get our stories out there? Meanwhile, you know, hello.
Exactly. Maya's right like, here. You can message her on Instagram. She will respond.
Right. Exactly. Like, you can't complain about something and then it appears and then you're nowhere to be found. Like you said, I mean, it doesn't. And the thing is, if with support, it does not take anything to retweet, reshare or post on your page. That doesn't cost any money and barely any time. So I definitely agree with you there.
Exactly.
Yes.
So what would you say to any of the Black female entrepreneurs out there? Because that is a demographic that day in, day out astonishes me, continues to blow my mind. Black women are the most educated, the most business oriented. They're the ones out of all the demographics of man to woman business owners. Black women have the highest percentage and are continuing to grow day in, day out. And it's beautiful to watch. Yeah. You being one of the women that fit that exceptional demographic, what advice would you give to any young woman or even middle-aged, old age, in 20-something, what advice would you give them about pursuing their passions?
I would say definitely one of the main things that comes to mind is have a supportive team around you. And when I say team, it could be, you know, the team within your business, but it also is the team outside of your business. If you don't have a supportive staff or if you don't have supportive family or friends around you, it's going to be hard because you need some of them to help you bear the brunt. You need some of them to help you emotionally, even financially. You need people around you who will not, you know, downgrade your dreams and tell you you need to do something else. You need people around you who are going to support you to the fullest, because that's definitely helped me tremendously. If I didn't have my family, my friends, the people around me, the people who work with me on Shades, then, you know, it would be hard. So that's probably number one. And then number two, I would say you're definitely going to have doubts throughout the whole process. Just fight through them. You're going to have, you know, whether it's doubts from people outside or the voices in your own head saying, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe this isn't worth it. You got to fight those doubts. Even, you know, when you're into it, like I've been doing this for almost 2 years now, and still there are moments where I have my doubts. Fight through it. And one way to fight through it is through your team and through the support that you do have. So like I told you about the write-ups that the students did after I visited the class, have something like that to refer back to where you see that people appreciate what you're doing. Refer back to the positivity. Surround yourself with that to fight those doubts.
Those are such great pieces of advice. And having that outside affirmation from people who matter, mm-hmm. emphasis on people who matter,
right,
is so important and necessary, because you're going to be battling yourself mm-hmm. every single day and doubting yourself more than anyone else will.
Mm-hmm. You gotta fight.
And to add to that, exactly. And to add to that, start to distance yourself from people who, when you voice what your dreams or your ideas are, offer you alternatives. Mm. Get away from those people. If they're not here, if they aren't your parent or like your sibling, and they all they do when you present an idea or a dream or pitch something, mm-hmm. provide you with alternatives or things they see as more realistic, so to speak, distance yourself from them. Because what they're doing with that, what they're saying without saying it is, I'm not sure if you can handle that. I don't think you understand the scale of what you're trying to do. So here's something that I think is better suited for your skill set or what I perceive your skill set to be. Get away from those people as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, luckily, I know for me, like I said, I have my parents are supportive, my brother is supportive, my grandpa, like I'm blessed to come from a supportive family. And then I know some people, you know, even people within their own family doubt them. So that's upsetting to see. So I'm just
very,
you know, even in that scenario, I would say put a healthy distance when it comes to sharing certain things with them, because you don't want naysayers in your head at every point.
Exactly. You shouldn't have any of that in your inner circle.
Right.
Because you already doubt yourself enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't need an outside source, mm-hmm. whether solicited or unsolicited, giving anything else that would shake your faith in your ability.
Exactly. Definitely.
Maya, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been great. Yeah. Again, another phenomenal conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for starting this podcast. This is awesome. And you're awesome. And I know you will continue to do amazing, amazing things. I just see it for you. Definitely.
I truly appreciate that. And here I will give you the space. You have the floor. Anything you would like to promote, anything you would like the people to know, where people can reach you and contact you, I will have everything listed in the show notes. But now's your time to basically
plug myself.
Put out your ad. Plug yourself. Go for it.
Awesome. Thank you. So you can follow Shades of Long Island on Twitter. It's at Shades LI. We're also on Facebook, Shades of Long Island. And you can find us on Instagram under the hashtag Shades of Long Island as well. And we also, as Julio said, we have a newsletter. You can subscribe right on the site, and you can also find our business directory right on the site. It's shadesoflongisland.com. And you can also catch Let's Kick It With The Joneses on our YouTube channel, Let's Kick It With The Joneses. We're going to be putting out all the episodes from season one soon, so you'll be able to see those come out weekly. And what else? At this part, I always forget, you know, it's hard to plug sometimes, you know?
Exactly.
Talk about yourself.
All right. Thank you so much again, Maya. Appreciate you beyond words. Godspeed.
Thank you so much, Julio. Have a good day.
Same to you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in today. Your listenership and support are greatly appreciated. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to use the voice message feature on the Anchor app or message me on social media. You could be listening to anything in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I appreciate you. Until next time, this has been Across the Mic with Julio Taku. Godspeed.